Hello and welcome to the Wednesday night service of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support our broadcast and our ministry, please visit our website, which is www.thefishermenministry.org, and click on the donation button located on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, everyone, to the Fisherman Ministry Grace Ranch service in West Texas. So let us praise and worship the Lord and come into His presence, and let us rejoice.
Flesh and blood. earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you again on a Wednesday evening here. Hope you're all well. Wanted to turn to begin tonight to something out of Mark chapter 4. This is something that I think is important for us to pay attention to. And it comes up I'll start in verse 23. And in verse 23, this is Jesus. Now, mind you, in chapter 4, you hear the story of the seed and the sower. And we know that, you know, the four different types of ground, which is hearts that it finds. One is one where before the person's even able to believe, the devil comes and takes the word that was sown. To another that was sown on stony ground, they immediately hear the word with gladness, but because they have no root, they endure but for a time, and when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, they become offended, and they leave. Doesn't mean they leave the church, mind you, folks. They just leave the faith. And they can even stay in the church. You can even stay in this church and have left the faith. And then it comes up to that, and this is the great majority of Christians, that where it's sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. And I wanted to focus on that concept that they heard the word. Each of these people heard the word, all right? And here in the fourth group, it says, I mean the third group, and these which are sown among the thorns, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, that's the fears and the worries, and the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, I could do it if I had enough money. So people are always waiting for the money to come before they do the thing, and they never do anything. And the lusts of other things and entering in. And I want to highlight that concept of entering in, because, in other words, they didn't begin there. But these other things become the most important things over time. And what happens? It chokes out the word and it becometh unfruitful. And then you have, these are they which are sown on the good ground. So hear the word and receive it. Now you notice that they said two different things here. Hear it and receive it. And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said, "Is a candle," he said unto them, "is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed?" And by the way, I'm at 21, folks. I kind of went back a little bit. "And not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which cannot be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Now, with that background, turn to verse 24. "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Now, I remember when I first read these verses, 23 to 25, I was thinking to myself, gosh, that sounds kind of unfair. You're taking from these people, Lord, who have, and giving it to those that already have in abundance. And here you're giving them more. But I can tell you, after 26 years in the Lord, I've seen this come to pass and come to pass and come to pass and come to pass and come to pass so often. And I get it now. I didn't get it before. See, the Lord's going to give things to those who are going to walk in them and minister it unto others. You know, there's plenty of people in our fellowship who for decades have heard the word, many of whom even were excited a time or two, or maybe even for some number of years. But it's amazing to me how easy it is for people to become dull of hearing. They think they've got it already. They think they've heard it before. They think they understand. Why are you saying this to me? And a whole host of other things. It's kind of funny. I mean, you hear that in people. And I look back at like 2 Peter, and Peter's talking about how it's good for me to say these things again as long as I'm here. You hear in Paul, he's constantly saying, it's good for me to put you in remembrance of these things. You know, they're all doing the same thing. But people all too often have the wrong reaction to them. And what ends up happening is people who once had end up losing even that which they had. And I can tell you, to get it back, you got to recognize that the reason why you don't have it is nobody's fault but your own. You know, taking heed what you hear. Let's look at that for a moment. All right. There's two different sides of that. One side of that, taking heed what you hear, is, you know, Jesus talks elsewhere about beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. So, in other words, there's a leaven out there, or there's a thing to be heard, okay? The Pharisees representing those religious people who essentially depart to some type of work that they're doing that justifies them. And that's so easy and common to do. It's easier than faith. It's far easier than faith. And you're always going to find people out there who are going to agree how one work that you do. You find people. What's interesting about it is, in the body of Christ, you won't find that people are so ecstatic about such things. In fact, they don't seem to be impressed by it. And I'm talking about the body of Christ of those who have heard and walk in the gospel. They're not impressed by the different things you talk about that you think in some way, manner, shape, or form are going to justify you or justify another. because they know that none of that is going to account for anything. In fact, if anything, it creates a sadness. And the reason why it creates a sadness, it's like I can see the person telling me this or the person they're talking about standing before the Lord in that day spoken of in Matthew 7, saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that and the other thing?" Because they don't recognize as soon as you begin to use your own works as a basis to justify you, you have fallen. You have fallen. You have fallen. I mean, and that's why when Jesus said, "Get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you," their own words testified against them. They did not have to go any further. The very fact that when they stood before him, they felt compelled to talk to him about what they believed they had done, as though that was going to impress him, tells you that they've fallen. And it's amazing how often people say the same kinds of things to me. I'll hear people talk to me about the things they've done. And this is people in the fellowship. This is people outside the fellowship. This is all sorts of people. And the fact of the matter is, it's always a sad thing to me because I realize the person doesn't get it. So one thing about taking heed what you hear is about, look, you don't want to hear the things that are contrary to the word. You don't want to hear the things that are contrary to the gospel specifically. Because the thing is the word contains the gospel and it contains the law. The gospel is the tree of life. The law is the tree of knowledge of good and evil and brings forth death. So it contains both. So you can talk, people can talk about the word, can talk about things being in the word and not realize that they're speaking death. It's the gospel that brings life. And the gospel says, look, you guys couldn't do it, so I did it for you. I did the entire thing for you. There is no aspect of this that I did not do for you. Every work of God you did, it was me who did it, not you. The faith by which you are saved, it's my faith, not yours. The love with which you loved is my love, not yours. And I share this with you because you can fall off that way and it's so subtle and people don't even realize as they begin to do it. But you do it because you seem to have not succeeded in walking by faith. And so you look for some other way to be justified rather than by Jesus Christ. So he says, take heed what you hear. And then I talked about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It's amazing to me how many people today speak of things and give credence to things that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they would have never given any credence to at all. They give it credence to it today because they've received the leaven of Herod. Received it, received it, received it. I mean, the biggest leaven of Herod that's out there today, I mean, they have tons of them, so there's all different kinds of things. Basically centers around one concept, health. If you want to think of it, I mean, whether you're talking about the environmental movement, whether you're talking about like the food stuff, whether you're talking about healthcare, any of these things, it all centers around health. We actually sing a song, it's kind of funny, you know, love, joy, health, peace, Jesus made them mine. I'm trying to remember is that Abiding in the Vine? Yeah, Abiding in the Vine is the song that we sing. Love, joy, health, peace, Jesus made them mine. Now, I bring that up from this perspective, from a couple of different perspectives. When you start looking to anything but Jesus for your health, you are gone awry. you have gone awry. Let me just tell you, you've gone awry. You should begin and end always with Jesus at every step of the way. End of story. But today we have basically a near universal consensus in America with people who just disagree about who should pay for it and who should do it and how we should do it. But basically that points everybody to faith in something other than Jesus for their health. And what's funny, and I suggest you go read Deuteronomy 28. It's a long chapter, but you go through and you read it, and you will see how in the first 13 verses, he lays out the blessings to those that diligently seek to know and to do his will. Forget exactly what the words are, but you read it, you can find it for yourself. And then he has about 50-some-odd verses which talks about the cursings. And one of the ones that is in there is it talks about how the diseases of Egypt being the world, will come upon you to destroy you. And I share this with you. You don't only see that, you'll also see everything from, you know, the different things that will come and destroy your crops and destroy your store and destroy everything you got. But the diseases of Egypt in particular are important because, see, today, most of the health stuff we have in America today is actually about the diseases of Egypt coming on Americans now. Egypt being a type and shadow of the world, and the fact that America for a long, long time was probably one of the healthiest nations in the world. But as America has turned from the Lord and Christians have turned from the Lord, all of a sudden cancer's everywhere. And you have everybody from the environmental movement to the food people to the doctors all searching for the cure to something that they will not find. And the reason why they will not find it is because it's not caused by a natural thing. It is caused by a spiritual thing. And many of these diseases of Egypt, I mean, you just keep seeing them come up with new names and everything like that as America becomes more and more feeble, less and less able to take care of his or her own needs. And it's all relating to the diseases of Egypt coming on the people because we're under a curse. That's why we're under so much debt. That's why everything's dysfunctional out here. Schools, horrible. The government, horrible. Everywhere we turn. So take heed what you hear has a lot to do with which things are going to get a place in your heart. The other side of take heed what you hear, and this is really the one Jesus was talking about more on Mark 4:24, is take heed when you hear the word of God. Now, taking heed when you hear the word of God, do you treasure it? Do you keep it? Do you pay attention? For example, if we were to go 20 minutes after this service tonight, and I was to ask each of you, what did you get out of the meeting? How many of you do you think would say, as I hear so often, my mind just went blank? How many of you a day later remember? How about 3 days later? How about when you hear something that I may say that, say, Davey said, or maybe I said before? How many times when it's said again do you go, oh, you know, I've heard this before? And what you fail to see is that the reason why it's being said again is because it's needful, because you didn't really hear it. You have not yet received it. The fruit of that word is not yet evident in your life. Now what you begin to see is you begin to see, and I see it in the ministry, I can see it right now as I speak to you. I can see those who are taking heed and hearing. And it's been a wonderful thing to see the blessings that have been pouring down upon those who have been taking heed and hearing. And I see them getting more and more and more. And at the same time, I see some who don't seem to be getting anything at all. In fact, that which they once had seems to be slipping away. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. I cannot emphasize it enough. I can tell you what, it's funny. Now, Raul is here in Vermont. Raul has a hard time listening sometimes. He's not the best listener in the world I've ever met. He's oblivious to this fact, but unless he's listening tonight, in which case, hi, Raul. Now you're not so oblivious. But one thing that Raul has done, even though he has that problem, is he started at the beginning of the year or so, he started going back through and listening in a systematic way to so many of the messages that have been up on the web. He's listened to Davey's old revival meetings. He's listened to many of the men's Tuesday night Bible studies. He's listened to many things. And it was amazing when I first heard from him how he had obviously already been changed by the word he had heard. And he continues to be changed by that word that he is hearing. You know, if you want to grow, if you realize that things have been lost, that things have been slipping, that you have not been sharp, that the word and its vibrancy and in your ministering to people is not just right there all the time as you have need of it. That's what being instant in season and out of season's about. It's right there. You're always centered right there on him. There's the word. And whatever the situation is, it's right there. See, that's how we're supposed to be, continuously. If you're not there, or you haven't been there, you need to take heed what you hear. I can tell you, since the beginning of this year, whether you recognize it or not, the Lord has been moving in an extraordinary way in the fellowship. The word that he has brought forth over these number of months has been a word of great hope, and it's been a word of revival to his people. Many of you have taken heed and been blessed thereby, some more than others, most of which has to do with hearing, once again. Some haven't even heard a lot of it and haven't cared to take the time to go listen to it or think it's at all of any importance to them. And you can see it. It is obvious. It is obvious. So I want you to encourage you to take heed what you hear. And in particular, that if you haven't been, humble yourself. Get alone with the Lord. Humble yourself. Apologize to the Lord. Ask the Lord to bring back to remembrance, to reignite that fire that was once in you, to strengthen and fortify you and open up your understanding that you can hear and know his word once again and divide it rightly and it be ever present with you, continuously informing your decisions day by day and ministering to those around you. When that type of vibrancy is in each and every member of this fellowship, I want you to know what you see over there, and I think it's Psalm 1 where it talks about how sinners will not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. You're going to start seeing that happen because there will be no quarter. There will be no quarter for the foolishness and the stupidity and the different things. Then what will happen is most people, actually, I won't say for certain that it's most people, but honestly, you know, there's a real momentum that comes from seeing a body that's operating in love, a body that's operating in God's word. We've really never seen it fully here in this ministry. But I have to tell you that what I believe is going to come from that is you're going to see, rather than people, a lot of people dying and going by the wayside, you're going to see a lot of people regaining their strength and walking in love and operating in the Lord Jesus Christ, joining us in that. You'll see people actually join in that. See, it's interesting, you know, when Jesus was there and he died on the cross, pretty much everybody abandoned him. There was really nobody around, hardly. His mom was there, a couple other people. But for the most part, everybody had abandoned him, and everybody thought it was all over. But I'll tell you what, on that day of Pentecost, when there were 120 people in that upper room, and they received the Holy Spirit of God, and they went forth in power, whoa, now you started seeing a tremendous harvest come in. A tremendous harvest come in. Because, see, it was one thing for Jesus to walk around and do it. Yeah, it may have been another thing for a guy like Peter to go do it or something like that. But when deacons like Philip were doing it and Stephen were doing it, all of a sudden everybody was taking notice. Absolutely everybody was taking notice. And those that the Spirit drew, what did it say, were added to the church daily, such as, I forget how the wording is, it's in Acts chapter 4 or 5, I think. Maybe Robin can find it for me. But you saw them grow. You saw people in the Lord who had been there for some time and the like. All of a sudden, they were renewed in their enthusiasm, and the old things that had had them tied up and been hindering them for years were gone. They were gone. See, that's what I want to see happen in this fellowship. See, in John 17, if you go over there for a moment, I want to show you something. In John 17, and it's down towards the end of John 17, and it's seeming to take me an unreasonable amount of time to find it. Here we go. I'm going to start with verse 20 for a moment. And I think we know this one pretty well. This is where Jesus is not praying just for the 11. He's now praying for another group. And he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now watch that. Look at that. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, when there's not a people who are one with God, how is anyone supposed to ever believe? How? You know, you can pray for revival, you can pray for these things, but it's vain unless you're one with God.
That's 2:47.
And by the way, what Robin's point bringing over to me is Acts 2:47, which says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And if you notice, what preceded that immediately was that they had all things common. Nobody considered. Watch that. And I'll just go back in Acts chapter 2 a little bit farther. Let's look at it from verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. All right, and this is on the day of Pentecost. So verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, look at that, gladly received his word, gladly received his word, were baptized. Do you gladly receive God's word? You should. Even if it's corrective, even if it's provoking. Remember, it's his rod and staff that comfort us. Neither of which are petting instruments. So he says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. See, continuing steadfastly is to take heed to. But it is. And it's interesting. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There were 120 people out that day of Pentecost, only 11 of whom were apostles. All right, but there were 120 people there. I mention this because whose word do you take heed to? Do you take heed to the apostles' doctrine or some other word? Do you find the apostles' doctrine hard to hear? Take heed what you hear. Remember over there in John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for all them which shall believe on me through their word. That's referring to apostles. So over here in Acts 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship was something they desired. Fellowship was something they sought out. Fellowship was something that they wanted. I know people. Take Carter, for example. Carter moved, left a good job, nice condominium, had his own car, had a nice, neat little life in Colorado. And he left all that to come down and work his butt off out in the heat for no pay, really, to speak of, at Grace Ranch. Now he's fed, praise God. I'm sure he's happy, thankful for that. And he's given up every single thing, every single comfort he had before. And one of the reasons was because he wanted fellowship. And the other reason was he wanted the apostles' doctrine. I know a young couple that's down in Georgia right now that's doing the exact same thing. Exact same thing, willing to move three quarters of the way across the country to a place where it's going to be pretty hard for him to find a job like he's been able to find pretty much everywhere else he's ever lived. He's a good, hard worker. Good, hard worker. And yet he is leaving all of that, a nice home, a beautiful kind of garage and everything like that, a job he worked 4 days a week at for 10 hours a day and gets Fridays off. I mean, he's had it pretty good. Had it pretty good. To come out to the rigors of Grace Ranch because he wants to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. He knows that if he's really going to grow and come to that place the Lord would have for him, that he needed to do this. Now, I'm not telling everybody to come out to Texas. Don't hear me wrong. That is not at all what I'm telling. I'm highlighting the kind of commitment that people have shown. And I ask you to consider your own commitment. What is your own commitment? Do you continue steadfast in these things? Do you, for example, even want fellowship with an apostle? Or do you prefer to steer clear of such? Do you covet it? Or do you try to stay away from it? And he goes on, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, I want to hit on that fear part there. Because again, see, if you don't fear, if you don't fear God, you're not going to take heed to the apostles' doctrine. You're not going to feel the need to continue steadfastly in that. Fellowship's okay, but no fellowship's also okay. These things aren't going to matter to you. But if you fear God, they will become critical to you. They will become central to your life. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And one of the things I want to hit on that for a moment is, you know, it's funny, signs and wonders. You know, my children mentioned to my wife a week or so ago when they were at the store. We were buying some ibuprofen or something, and my children were asking, "Mom, why do people at the ranch take medicines and stuff like that, and we just pray and it goes away?" I'm not sure what my wife said to him. She just told me about the story, and I don't remember specifically. But one of the things is, and the point I want to bring up, is that, see, what you saw here is as they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, many signs and wonders occurred. Why? Because of their faith, folks. God was honoring their faith. Jesus in his own hometown could only heal a few sick folk because of their unbelief. If you're going to earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for example, you're going to earnestly contend for the faith to receive healing, to receive deliverance, to not accept anything but the best that God has. That's going to be your perspective. You're not going to justify yourself in things. You're going to fight because you want that. You want the best things that God has. You don't want to settle for second best. So, and it goes on, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." That thing about having all things common, it was funny. Today, I ended up purchasing a tent for my family. It's a small thing, but I purchased one that should hold up well in the wind and be pretty rugged for us for a number of years. But one of the reasons why I bought the tent is, sure, for, you know, my family considers camping being in a tent. They don't consider it being in a camper, so they don't consider that, and we like that. And it's a lot more freeing to be able to use a tent and stuff like that. But one of the reasons why I bought that tent is I also knew that with that and the airbed I'm picking up and a few things I have around, that we could put up 1 to 2 families in that tent for convention comfortably. We have a nice little buddy heater that can go in that tent and keep it warm. We've got mats that can go down. We got sleeping bags. We got plenty to put people into a nice tent that would be comfortable for an adult and for children, and for them to be able to sleep at our convention. And I share this with you because, I mean, it's a small thing, whoop-de-doo, on the one hand. But I ask you, how often do you think about where the Lord's going with the fellowship, what it is that's going on, and take your steps based on that? How often do you really think and consider the larger picture in what you do? Or how much of it's really just about you? And then when you have something, it's yours. It's not for others. Now, don't get me wrong. There's things I have that I wouldn't want to lend to some of you, because you wouldn't take care of it. And I have a duty of stewardship before the Lord, and I'm going to do it, and you can like it or lump it when I tell you no. Tough. All things in common doesn't mean that you come over and take what I have, because we have all things common. That is not at all what all things common means, and unfortunately a lot of people who don't have a lot think that's exactly what it means. That it's theirs to take anything. It's not at all what it means. But it does mean that if you have something, it is subject to the Lord, and you will give it away, share it, or whatever, or sell it, all depending on what it is he would have you do with it. Because you've been bought with a price. And you know you owe him your very life. What is it you're going to hold back from him? In fact, it's your joy to do that. It is your distinct pleasure and joy to have provided for others and to be able to be a part of God's ministry unto them. that's not a hardship. It's a joy. And so he finishes up here, and we'll finish. He goes, and all that had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. That's the picture, folks, of what the Lord's seeking to accomplish with us. That is the picture. But in order for that to happen, you have got to continue steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles. We know in this fellowship, for example, that refers in at least one case to Richard Utzler. And most, if not all of us, were raised on his doctrine. Some have been more blessed than others. It's basically a function of this. Take heed what you hear. Boils down to that. Those that heard and took heed and took it to heart and operated in it and that became central to their lives were blessed. Those that didn't weren't. Those that sought out fellowship with him and in the body were blessed. Those that did not were not. Time for that to end. It is time for that to end. There is no place for any of that anymore. That is BS. It's garbage. It's the sad part is the people who have operated in that, the one who's been hurt the most is you. Nobody else. But what it has hindered is many of your prayers have been vain. People pray for revival. People pray for all of these things. Shoot. You want to see revival happen. Become one with God. When you and me and others walk as one with God, you will see revival, period. You will see it. Because people will know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. There won't be any wondering about it. They may embrace it. They may fight against it. But one way or the other, it'll be a force that they cannot withstand. End of story. There's nothing they can do to withstand that. And that's where the boldness, that's where the courage, that's where all the things that have been lacking come forth. And that's where we see this fellowship just explode. Explode, folks. I mean, explode. There is no reason we can't see 3,000 people come to know the Lord in a day. There is no reason we can't see that. There's no reason we can't see the Lord add to the church daily. Now, I'm not talking like these churches out here who have their scalps thing that they do. I'm not talking about that. That's not at all where I'm coming from. But I can tell you that as a body of believers come together and operate in that, people now know it is true. And people then who have stood on the sidelines waiting choose to enter. And when they enter, others enter. And when they enter, others enter. And that's what the Lord wants to do. That's what's going to transform this nation. That's what's going to transform your life. And that's what we need today. So I really encourage you to each of you to get in your closets and seek the Lord on these fronts. And may the Lord bless you. And may he indeed move mightily through each of us to bring this body together as one in him and continue steadfastly in that doctrine of the apostles, that we may go forward as one and be that mobile mercy delivery body that he has called us to. So may the Lord bless you, folks. We'll play some more songs. God bless you. We'll talk to you, I don't know when next, but sometime soon, I'm sure. Good night.
my Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, alleluia. Oh, alleluia. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Oh, alleluia. Oh, alleluia. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Out of the furnace of much affliction, I am chosen. Thee behold.
For me, Jehovah Jireh.
soul in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Taking war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Taking war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Well, Father, we thank you for the word that was spoken this evening. And Lord, may we take heed only to thy word and reject all other that is name. And we will see you on Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern time for the South Carolina service, and 11 o'clock for Vermont service. It's 12 o'clock for Arizona service, and it's 1 o'clock for Texas service. All times are Eastern. Thank you very much, and God bless.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the Donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.